covenant one. He is the great and mighty one. And if you want to get a good blessing, read the book of Colossians as it talks about Jesus Christ. And those two words, he is, just leaped in my spirit, and I knew immediately what I should be preaching on in the next few weeks on Sunday nights. Right now, our world is in turmoil, and right now we're about to inaugurate a new president. And so there's a lot of questions that are being asked. And so what I want to do is focus this sermon series on this, that Jesus is. Can you say that with me? Jesus is. Man may not be, or somebody you think should be, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter the circumstances, Jesus is. He is. Somebody said this, and this dates me a little bit, but most of us here are older, and these commercials, somebody said that Jesus is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send the very best. Somebody said Jesus is like Tide. He gets the stains out that the others leave behind. Somebody said Jesus is like GE or General Electric that brings out good things to life. Somebody says Jesus is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Amen. Somebody said Jesus is like Delta. He's ready when you are. You remember those commercials on Delta? Jesus is like Allstate. You're in good hands. Amen. Jesus is like VO5 hairspray, and this is one of my favorite. He holds through all kinds of weather. Amen. Jesus is like Dial soap. Now, this is a commercial from several years ago. Watch it on YouTube. Dial soap commercial. It says, aren't you glad you have Dial soap, and don't you wish everybody else did? So, aren't you glad that you have Jesus, and don't you wish everybody else did? And my all-time favorite, pointed out to me by my spiritual daughter, is Coca-Cola. Jesus is the real thing. Why don't you praise him? He is the one. He is the mighty God. Jesus is going to see us through this pandemic. And I want you tonight to join with me on a journey over the next few Sunday nights as we walk through the pages of the scripture and discover that he is. Say that with me. He is. Jesus is the soon returning king. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He is the Lord. He is the healer. He is the mighty God, Jehovah Jireh. Lift up your heads. Lift up your hands and strengthen the feeble knees and get your eyes off of this world. He is a mighty king, and he's walking among us, and let's praise him. Come on and give him a hand of praise. He is. Stand with me and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and also Revelation chapter 22. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 and also Revelation chapter 22. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, isn't that a timely scripture? Deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things you've learned and been assured of. In other words, evil men and seducers are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. But you need to just keep on in the things you've learned and the things you know. And the things that you've been assured of. I've been assured of glory. I've been assured that he's a way maker and a miracle worker. Now go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. Verse 13, he is the Alpha and the Omega. Let's go to the next verse, Revelation 22 and verse 13. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And tonight I want to begin this series by talking about he is coming soon. So, Father, tonight anoint us. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus is. And I thank you for anointing your servant, God. And, Lord, those in this room and those online, and we give you praise for your hope, for the hope of assurance we have in these troublesome times, that he is. And we'll whatever we need, he is. And we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn around and tell somebody that Jesus is. Amen. This week, America will inaugurate a new president with an incoming administration in Congress led by people who staunchly support abortion on demand, partial birth abortion, same-sex unions, the end of free speech, not standing with Israel. What shall we do? What is our response? Well, first and foremost, our response to this week's inauguration and the things that we're seeing on the landscape, the first and foremost response should be to this. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This is our response. That I may know him. Say that with me. That I may know him. Paul said this. He did not say that I may win Europe for Christ. He did not say that I might be a preacher or that I may have riches. He said, no, that I may know him. Amen. And when he knew him, guess what happened? He won Europe. Guess what happened? He became the preacher, the greatest preacher that ever lived. And guess what happened? He received eternal riches far and beyond what this world can comprehend. And I want you to understand tonight that if we're going to get through this administration in this time period, then we need to know him. We need to know that he is. I thank God that he was. I thank God that he will be. But understand in 2021, on January the 20th at 12 o'clock noon, when the Joseph R. Biden is inaugurated, should it happen, let me tell you, friend, it's not that he is going to be inaugurated. It's that he is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to see us through. And y'all need to shout about it tonight. Amen. And y'all looking like y'all eating lemons and you're so sorry about what's going to happen. And I'm not excited about it. People say, are you for this? Are you for Republican, Democrat? I'm for he is. Amen. I'm for Jesus. Hallelujah. And whoever's the closest to what Jesus teaches and Jesus preaches, I'll have joy when they're in office. When the righteous rule, the people are glad. But when the wicked are in office, the people suffer. But despite all of that, he is the King. He is the Lord. He is the way maker. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, for Jesus is. Thank God for Operation Warp Speed to give us a vaccine of COVID-19. And I'm going to be one of the ones that'll take it if it comes around, and I'll be on the last because I'm younger and healthy. But understand that there's a greater vaccine, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the healer. He is the comforter. And if this sickness takes my life, I'll tell you, he is my reward in glory forever, where there is no sin and suffering and no president will be inaugurated that stands for unrighteousness. He is the Redeemer. Can you give him praise tonight despite it all? Let me give you a few things to think about this week. Number one, when Joseph R. Biden raises his hand and is inaugurated, let me remind you, number one, we need to pray for our newly elected leaders. That includes the leaders that were elected in our Senate. The Senate now will be in control of the other side of the political spectrum that stands for unrighteous things. But that doesn't mean that we're not to pray for them. In fact, if there's any hope, it is in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. You may say, well, Pastor, how can I be giving thanks that Joe Biden is going to be inaugurated? Surely I can't give thanks for that. Give thanks for the fact that he only has 4 years. Amen. Glory to God. After that, who knows what the next 4 years. Thank God we have an election every 4 years. Amen. Come on here. And I know they stole the last one. I know it was fake ballots. I know all that. But as our pastor has prayed, God can turn the light on and we can have an honest election and that God can put into a position position despite it all. Amen. Give thanks, be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I mentioned the movie Fiddler on the Roof, the musical. It's about a Jewish family living in Tsarist Russia, and the Russians were known to persecute, do pogroms against the Jews, they had, this story is set with a Jewish community that has been many years and hadn't had any problems. But yet they knew the Tsar persecuted the Jews. This is, before the overthrow of the Communist Party. And they went to the older rabbi and said, "Is there a blessing for the Tsar?" And the younger ones just, they didn't like him. You know, he's done so much wrong. And the old rabbi said, "Yes, there is a prayer, for the Tsar. There's a blessing for the Tsar." "Oh, really? What is it?" And he said, "Our God, bless and keep our Tsar far away from us." Amen. And so God, just keep some of that influence far away. Our prayers can make the difference because Jesus is the one who answers prayer. Greater than the ballot box, greater than a political party or platform, is the power of prayer. And Paul said, "You pray." And who was the leader when Paul said this scripture? The Roman emperors, Caligula. Caligula, who burned Christians for sport, and Nero, and all of these diabolical Roman emperors who make any of our presidents look like pure angels. Please understand that when Paul wrote this scripture, he was saying, pray for Caligula, pray for Nero, ask God to intervene and do something. And guess what? Nero is gone, and the Roman government is gone, but guess who is still standing? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for our elected leaders that God intervenes and that God moves. Can you say amen? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. There's a God in heaven. Prayer works. And if the church ever fails, it is always traced back not to a failure in a program, not to a failure in prosperity or money, not in a failure of people or attendance. If we fail, it is always going to be a lack of prayer. Thank God for this church that we are a praying. Our pastor has put prayer into the very DNA of this church. And that's why other churches have been suffering and others have been declining, but we have been holding on and even growing. We've added new members, and we took in almost $10,000 the first Sunday of January. Don't you believe prayer works? Because God wants to do something. He is the prayer answering God. Let's pray for our newly elected leaders. Let's give God praise here tonight. Amen. Number two. When Joseph R. Biden is inaugurated, we must, number two, support Israel like never before. President-elect Biden is not going to be pro-Israel. He's going to be pro-Palestinian, and he's going to be left-wing, and he's going to try to strike up the horrific Iran deal, which gives billions and billions of dollars to Iran to build a nuclear weapon. Can I tell you something, people, that President Trump, the almost immediately when he took office, he canceled that deal, and thank God for it. Amen. But we've got to pray for Israel. And we may not have a president that stands with Israel, but God's got a church that stands with Israel. And God is working things out, and he's doing something. And we know that President Biden is very much pro-China. And you can read the book of Revelation and understand that China will be a world power. It just breaks my heart that it's got to be America. That, you see, God didn't raise us up to give our wealth to the enemy. Read the story of the the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, when they strayed away from God, those enemies took their wealth. Those Midianites you were talking about stole their wealth. And the Chinese people are paying their people 50 cents an hour. And the goods are coming over to America. And then we're being charged outrageous prices. And it's giving all of our wealth to Chinese interest. And we know that President Biden is for China. And friend, please understand that there's not a lot I can do, but this one thing I can do, I can trust that God is working despite it all. Amen? Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. America does. I had a friend of mine when the riots took place and the people stormed the Capitol. And a friend of mine put on Facebook, "Evangelicals, where are you at now?" Kind of blaming us evangelicals for the riots last Wednesday. And I responded back, "I'll tell you, that's what 70 million babies have been asking for the last 40 years. Evangelicals, where are you?" He didn't like that too good. God help us when a political party justifies the new senator from Georgia, the Reverend whatever, false preacher, whatever his name is. I don't even remember his name, but I'm praying for him. And he said that God, the doctor, and a pregnant mother is too big to fit in the room to make a decision about an abortion. The government does not need to be in that room where God and the baby and the mother is about making an abortion. And I'm like, I agree, brother. The government don't need to be in that room. They don't need to be in my checkbook. They don't need to be in my business. The government's everywhere. The last I looked, I can't get a paycheck without the government in there. That's the thing. The government needs to get out of that room and let these babies live. Amen. And let's let God be God. So turn those words around. Somebody help me preach tonight. Y'all looking kind of depressed. Just remember he is. Amen. I don't care what the senator from Georgia says. Abortion is a sin, it is murder, and God will hold this nation accountable. And we as the church, this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. We had one president that stood with the right to life last year, and for whatever reason, God has a plan for Donald Trump and for the rest of us, and he will remember those who stood for the unborn. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. We must support Israel. Isaiah 62:7 says, "Give him no rest till he established, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Support Jerusalem, support Israel, ever how you can. Let people know that you stand for the nation of Israel. We're not going to give land to the Palestinians. We're not going to give land to the others. Did you know in the last year that President Trump was able to make peace deals with other Arab nations? It's been a miracle. My friend, God is doing something, and he has used Donald Trump for 4 years. No, he wasn't perfect. Things he said that I was very, very disturbed about. But I'll take a little bit of a character flaw if I can see in that character God using for the greater good. Can I get a witness out here tonight? God uses, hey, if he can use a donkey to talk, he can use a president that tweets. Can I get an amen out there? We must support Israel. We must pray for our newly elected leaders. And thirdly, we must be the church. We must continue to be the church. Facebook and the head of Twitter has now said that they're going to silence, they're going to look at all of the things that people are posting on Facebook and social media. And those that are deemed inciting violence, or those, in other words, if we talk against abortion, if we talk against same-sex marriage, we're going to be flagged and we're going to be taken off the air, and we're going to be, and overnight they have done away with free speech. It's not going to get any better. But what are we going to do? Praise God, we're going to still be the church. Amen. If I have to huddle in some corner, I'm going to preach the truth to whoever. I'm not looking for tens of millions of people to hear the truth. I just give me one person. I can change one person's life, and that person can change somebody. Hey, it happened before in the early church. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They had the power of the Holy Ghost. He is. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Amen. I know there's disappointment. I know there's questions. I had a man to call me the other night and said, "Brother Ricky, I'm watching these prophets on TV and they're prophesying that Donald Trump's going to be inaugurated Wednesday. What do you think about that?" And I'm going to just be honest with you. I know the church is scratching its head. How in the world? Doesn't God know? Of course he knows. Amen. I'm doing my part. And that is, I prayed and worked as hard as I could. And God will put an account. And your vote is an eternal testament of where you stood in these troublesome times. And that's all I can do. I can't answer for Trump or Biden or the Democrats or Republicans or you or anybody else. I'm going to stand before God. And in these times when they're taking babies' lives and when they're changing transgender and people who don't know who they are, let me tell you something. I've done my part. And the rest I put in God's hands. Turn around and tell somebody, Jesus is. I said, Jesus is. Church, let's be the church. Let's keep teaching Royal Rangers. Let's keep inviting our neighbors. You see, people who adopt these lifestyles, people say, you're hate-filled. No, we're love people. We love people. It's because I love some of my gay family that I give them Christmas presents and hug on them and love them. I don't shun them, their family and their partners. I treat them like family. They know I don't approve of any union or any marriage is not solid before God if it's two of the same sex. But let me tell you, friend, that through the love we can say this: there's something missing in your heart, and when God comes in your heart, then you will be. Somebody told me on the other day, they said, "Well, you know, Bruce Jenner is no longer a man. You know, he changed into a woman. He's Caitlyn Jenner now." I was like, "No, he ain't Caitlyn Jenner. He won't ever be Caitlyn Jenner. God made him Bruce Jenner. And when he stands before God, he may have a high voice, but he is going to be Bruce Jenner because God made him a man. He will answer to God as a man. It's only a lie to yourself. Maybe there's something missing in Bruce's life. Maybe all the wealth, maybe all the accolades didn't meet the need. And maybe he thought the devil came in and say, why don't you become another person? Listen, God wants you to become another person. He wants you to be born again by the Spirit. Somebody give him praise here tonight. We've got an answer for those who are struggling with identity and all of these things. Amen. Let's be the church. Let's keep having church. Let's not let governors shut us down anymore. Let's not say that we're going to give in. Oh, there might be a price to pay. I'm telling you, there is going to be a price to pay. But let us pay that price. I heard about a parade one time in New York on New Year's Day. It was the Tournament of Roses. And right in the middle of the route, a large float that was coming down, this magnificent parade, happens every year, the Tournament of Roses. And then there's this parade, and all of a sudden, one of the floats sputtered and stopped. And the entire parade was stopped until somebody could get a can of gas. The sponsor of the float just happened to be, listen to this, Standard Oil Company. What a huge irony it was that the largest gas company in the world's float had run out of gas. Friend, we don't need to run out of gas in the church. We don't need in this critical hour to backslide, backbite, be discouraged, down talk. Listen, when you're among the lost and people who are sinners, you don't need to walk depressed. I was out of work a few days last week. That's a miracle in and of itself. They have a few days off. They don't like to do that. But things happen, and I had a few days off. And I was off the Wednesday of those riots. And I walked into work, and two or three said, "We saw you on TV. We knew where you were. You were up there rioting." I said, "I won't riot." And I said, "I don't need to riot. I do my fighting on my knees. Amen. I'm not for busting out windows and breaking into buildings. I wasn't for it in Seattle. I wasn't for it when they shut down I-40 in Charlotte, when they painted Black Lives Matter. I wasn't for public desecration of property. Am I for celebrating Black history? Absolutely. Am I for celebrating things? Absolutely. Brother Baker, I'm going to stand right here to keep you from having to work so much tonight. But listen, I'm not for writing. He is the one who fights our battles. Oh, my friend, we may one day have to come to arms. We may have to protect the innocent lives. That day is not here yet. Until then, let us fight from our knees and let us not run out of gas. It's time to get full. It's time to get free. It's time to get all of God we can get and give the world a smile. No, I didn't go to the riots. I've been to church, glory to God, and I'm going to keep going to church. Amen. And by the way, if you're against same-sex marriage, I'm not against the people, but I'm against the concept. Same-sex marriage. God intended marriage to be male and female. And if you're against same-sex marriage, let me ask you something. Why don't you model a good marriage with your own marriage? Those of you that are heterosexual and those of you that have the blessings of God, if you as a married couple go into Cracker Barrel and y'all look like y'all folded up and mad at each other, the world's going to look and say, well, marriage must not be that good. I think we'll just live together. I think I'll just have a same-sex partner. Maybe we'll have true love. Let me tell you something. In my marriage, I'm going to keep the fire burning. In my marriage, I want to model to people that, listen, marriage is wonderful. Marriage is wonderful. All right, I was just making sure. Hallelujah. It's what you make it. Amen. Are there problems? Are there issues? Absolutely. But I love my wife. I will die for her. She will die for me. Married. I want these teenagers in this church to see in Ricky and Darnell a couple that exemplify. Listen, marriage is wonderful. It is wonderful. I love being married. I love being married. People say, well, I married the wrong person. I don't care if you married the wrong person. You can be the right person. Amen. Come on now. And listen, people are people. Don't matter who you get. Amen. Somebody's going to have some problem. Let me move on. We'll preach about marriage in February. Praise God. Around Valentine's Day. But let's be the church. Let's exemplify marriage. Make your marriage to be an example. Hold hands when you're walking in the mall. Blow each other a kiss. Let be public about your affection. Because let me tell you what young people are seeing on the movies and on YouTube and all of this stuff. They're seeing all the wrong images about marriage. And some of you older folks, baby boomers, listen, let people know that even in your latter years, marriage is still good. Hallelujah. The fire is burning. Can you say an amen here tonight? Moving on. Jesus is. What's going to happen Wednesday? He is. Hallelujah. What's going to happen beyond Wednesday? Jesus is the soon, point four. He is the soon returning King. How do we know? And I'm coming to a close. How do we know that He is the coming? Do you understand how close we are to the coming of the Lord? This election is prophetic. Iran getting nuclear weapons is prophetic because of Ezekiel 38 and 39. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but we know Russia probably, as Joel Rosenberg pointed out in his book, pointed out that it would be Russia and Iran and one other nation we're not sure of are going to come against Israel. Where's America going to be at? If we've got a president like President-elect Biden, I can tell you where we're going to be at. We ain't going to be with them. And that's going to be our downfall. Did you know that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy? You can read all those prophecies that talk about the days beyond today and nowhere. You can try to infer it. You can try to. I know some TV evangelists, they come up with these convoluted scriptures and say, well, that refers to America. Listen, America as we know it, as significant as we are in the world, something is going to happen to this country. I don't know what it's going to. At best, we're just going to be on the sidelines because we know there's going to be a world of technology when the Antichrist comes. So we can't have such such a terrible economic collapse. You know, the 666, all of that has got to be monitored through some technological infrastructure. And by the way, technology is in itself a fulfillment of prophecy. And I could go into that. Folks, everything is pointing to the Lord's soon return. Even this pandemic, we are now going to get it into our minds. It is now being floated. In order for you to function in society, you've got to prove XYZ, that you've been vaccinated, that you this, or you've done that. And because of why? Public safety. You got to have a card saying you've been vaccinated. Now, I'm not telling you I'm for it. I'm not telling you I'm against it. I'm just telling you that that kind of thinking is going to translate to, oh, you're one of those people that was for Trump. Well, we're not going to sell you anything. We're not going to do it because he caused an insurrection. You see where we're going with all of this. Folks, we better pray like we've never prayed before. Your Facebook account is going to be blocked if you put up there about the right to life, because you might incite insurrection. Oh, my friends, we're living on dangerous times, and it's all fulfilling of Bible prophecy. This pandemic, all of it, is telling me this. He is soon to return. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. I'm closing with this. Pastor, if you'll get ready to come. Somebody say, Jesus is. Somebody say, He is. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my Savior. He is coming. He is coming so soon. Let us hasten the coming of the Lord. Let us pray for His coming. Let us work when the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the dead in Christ shall rise. I forget the words to that song. Let us labor for the Master. And that goes, Sister Carolyn. We used to sing it at Granny's Church. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. When the roll is going to be called up yonder. I'm not looking for the undertaker, bless God. I'm looking for the uppertaker. Hallelujah. I do believe I'll be one of those ones that earth is going to lose its gravity. And they're going to say he was not, for God took him. I believe in the rapture of the church. You know, a lot of churches got away from preaching it the last 10, 15 years. That's another fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Friend, we must preach the coming of the Lord. And when I was Haley's age and younger, they preached on the coming of the Lord. I was so scared the Lord was going to leave me behind. Man, I'd go to school, and me and the kids over at school, we would get on the teacher's nerves and do things wrong, and I'd go home at night and I'd get so scared, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, the Lord, I didn't hear anything. And I'd sneak over to my little sister. She was about 2 years old. I'd sneak over there and I looked, and she was still in the bed. Oh, thank you, Lord. He hadn't come back. That's how strong they preached it, Brother Philip. Royal Rangers, they need to hear about the coming of the Lord. Girls' ministries, I know they're studying self-esteem, but you can have great self-esteem when you know you're ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Anybody ready for the coming of the Lord? He is soon to return. Years ago, there was a man, this is probably back in the 30s, he wanted a barometer. So he bought one, a very expensive model, from a company named Abe and Fitch. It's actually Abercrombie and Fitch, but I'm going to call it Abe. Very expensive, minutely calibrated barometer, not just something cheap, to tell the weather. And he wanted to set it somewhere in his house, perhaps on his mantle, so he carefully unpacked it, and he looked at it when he unpacked it, and the needle was pointed, you know, there's different sectors on the barometer, but the needle was pointed to the sector that says hurricane. Well, he shook it. It still didn't adjust. He shook it again, but the needle just stayed on where it says hurricane. He said, well, as much as I paid for this thing, and now I have a defective barometer. He lived on Long Island, and on his way into the city, he was a commuter into the city, he sat down and he wrote a scathing letter to the company about his defective barometer. But when he arrived back at Long Island that later that evening, the barometer was gone, and so was his house. because this was the 1938 and a great hurricane came through. You know, they didn't know. You could literally be sunshiny that morning and a hurricane that night. And they didn't have the weather forecast. His barometer and his house was gone. He just refused to believe that it was accurate that a hurricane was coming. And my friend, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. And it's telling us that He is soon to return. And it doesn't need adjusting or tinkering. And you don't need to write letters to the pastor. His word just needs to be believed. God is telling us that there are storms coming to this old world. And that we don't need to adjust His word. We just need to adjust our lives. Would you stand with me tonight? And just lift your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior. He is my soon returning King. No matter who's inaugurated, He is my healer. Oh, we thank You, Father, for Your soon return tonight. We bless You. He is Lord. Somebody say, He is. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee, even Joe Biden, one day, every tongue, even Donald Trump, confess, no matter who you are, that Jesus Christ is. Pastor.
You know, I had no idea what Pastor Ricky was going to preach on tonight when I read about those people that died. They were Christians. But Jesus didn't die. And I also said there are three forces in end time prophecy. There are the Jews, there are the Gentiles, and there's the church. Guess what? We're part of the church.
Oh, yes.
And it was not by accident that I picked this book up today. I bought this book several years ago. And the other day I pulled it out with some other books that I intend to read. And I had it with a book that I'm currently reading. The Revelation of America in Prophecy. The Gospel. America's Power. The World's Hope. Why Will America Survive? Because God raised up America to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, some of us are a little sad, but God can do a suddenly.
Yes.
And with a suddenly, everything changes. But the church does not have to worry about the tribulation, because God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to read you what's going to happen to the church, Revelation 4:1. John said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heavens, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon it was to look upon like jasper and a sardon stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. It caught my eye. The church is going to be gone. But John saw a throne, and he saw a rainbow around that throne. And you don't touch God's honor.
Come on.
And get away with it. Sennacherib did it. He said, I've got weapons, Hezekiah, you've never seen. And he said, what makes you think your God can stand against what I have? No other God has been able to do it. And that's the party that thinks that God can't stand against them. And He doesn't control the ups and downs and the yeses and the noes and the breath that we breathe. They put a rainbow on our White House and shook their fist in God's face. They did it because of gay rights, which God says is an abomination. They said, we'll show you, God. So just expect God to show up.
Yes.
And do something. You don't touch God's honor and get away with it. Herod did that in the New Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. And he was eaten up with worms immediately. You don't touch God's honor and get away with it. And people think they can, but that is a God in heaven and that all-seeing eye. He is a God of love. But I promise you this, when you turn away from him and mock him, God's judgment will come. And there are some people in this country, if they don't repent, judgment is headed their way. And I can say that on the authority of God's word.
Come on.
I believe the prophets. I believe what has been said. I believe America will rise like the Phoenix rose from the ashes. Hallelujah. There's resurrection power in Jesus Christ. And the church that Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church is not somewhere else. Not the major power of that church. The major power of the church, the kingdom of God, is still in America. Oh, there have been moves in other places. There are movements going on. But God will not forget America. God raised this nation up to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. The wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the righteous. You've heard me preach it. That it takes bread. You want to live at the bond level? That's bread. Joseph fed the nations with bread. And it takes bread to take the gospels to the ends of the earth. And people that think they're controlling all this wealth, the church will rise. And the wealth of the wicked is laid up. And the gospel will be carried by the church in America to the ends of this earth. God has said it, that three groups in the prophecy, there's the Jews, there's the Gentile, and there's the church. America in prophecy, the gospel, America's power, the world's hope. The world is waiting on the gospel, and God raised this nation up to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And no demon, no man, nothing can stop the church, because Jesus said, I will build my church,
yes,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on now, we can't hear you. Hallelujah. You have to come down here and stand beside your husband. Hallelujah. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Oh, yes.
Taineth favor of the Lord. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah.
I was just going to say that if any of you have been following Dutch Sheets with his daily giving 15 every day, he is describing how the intercessors all over the world are praying for America and praying because of this election and what has gone on. And I want you to, and because they recognize how important the United States is, and without the United States, the gospel being propagated and going out, the good news getting around, it will be hindered, but God. And so I want you to be encouraged that it's not just our nation that's praying. There are people praying all over the world for the United States, and that God's will be done.
America's prophetic destiny. I was excited when I picked that up and I looked at the copyright date. 1997. So God, this man right here from India, he got saved and God told him to come to America. And he said, certainly that's not God telling me to come to America. And a tragedy happened there in the government, and they were arrested. And his life was on the line, and all of these people that were holding them told him and his prayer team, looked at him. He wondered, how am I getting out of this mess, God? He was praying. They said, you and those five people with you. You can leave now. And they let them go. And there was all types of turmoil in that country. But he said God didn't have to tell him to come to America after that. He started getting his things ready. He came to America. And this is it's got all about America's history and how God raised this nation up and how in the end times America was raised for one reason. So I want to encourage you. Don't worry about what you see. Don't look at the news media and what you're seeing there. And don't believe the lies that are being perpetrated. Just know one thing. God can certainly move. Yes. And if God has purposed to move, and I believe God has, God will move and the whole world will be a standard. He said, before the day was, I am He. I will work and none can let it. None can stop me. Saith the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of the armies of heaven. And angels have already been dispatched. I got good news. We win.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He is.
Thank you, Pastor Ricky. He is. Thank you for being here tonight. Wednesday night, I'm going to probably do something on fasting. I'll tell you six reasons you should fast. So look at three people on the way out and tell them you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God.